It's the Dave Congleton Show, always your hometown radio talk show. I have been a big fan of Tony Hertz for years. I'm kind of embarrassed that it took 24 years to actually get him in studio. That's my fault. Tony's been around a long time. He has been a resident of San Luis Obispo since 1975. Of course, another proud Cal Poly graduate. Many people will recall his great work as a staff photographer for the Old Telegram Tribune for more than 10 years. He's gone on to win all sorts of great awards. He certainly knows his way around the county and around a camera. And now he is responsible for a masterful work called The Nine Sisters, a rare alignment of ancient volcanic peaks, just in time for the holidays, featuring photography by Tony Hertz. It's a pleasure to have Tony on Hometown Radio. Hey, Tony.
Hi, Dave. Nice to see you.
Put that microphone right in front of you.
All right. Right there.
There you go.
Okay.
Good. Congratulations on the book.
Thank you very much, sir.
What else should we know about your professional background? What else should we tell people about you?
Well, it's 10 years, as you mentioned, at the Tribune, the Old Telegram Tribune at one time. I started in 1977.
So you were there like the Jim Hayes days?
Exactly. Yeah. A close friend of Jim Hayes. Yes.
Yeah.
Miss him very dearly.
Absolutely.
He was quite a friend and mentor. And, he used to run the old weekend newspaper, The Focus, at the one time, and then it changed to The Ticket later on. And now it's it's different.
It is what it is.
Yes, it is.
Now, did you study photography at Cal Poly?
I did. I went to Cal Poly at the journalism department. And they had, at the time, they had a photojournalism concentration, and I took all the classes in that. At that time, actually, even the art department was part of that. A lot of the color photography and so those classes were part of that.
Why photography? What gave you the bug?
Oh, my gosh, that goes way back when I was a child. I always loved looking at Life magazines and just all photos. I'd even just look at things in a different way. I'd cover one eye and look at things another way. And just so I always enjoyed photographs, and it took off from there. I even had an old Brownie, or old box camera. So that was my
first camera. You're one of these guys, you're like David Middlecamp. We'd go hiking or something, and I would just miss everything that you were seeing because you've got that trained eye, don't you, Tony?
Well, I hope so, and I try and work on that.
And what does that mean, a trained eye for a photographer? What can you see that Craig or I might miss if we were in the same location for you?
It's a good question, Dave. I think when it comes down to is being in the moment and really looking at the whole scene and really looking at light. Light is the number one thing in photography. Mm-hmm. And I tell my students that. I teach at Cuesta, of course. And light is number one thing. And then the main foundation, of course, is composition. Yeah. And composition is so important. But really, to be looking at photography and making pictures, it's taking your time and really tuning into it. And everybody has their certain interest in different types of things they photograph.
But I would assume you're not the same photographer now that you were in 1975.
Well, that's in some respects. But, yes, sure, I've changed immensely. I've grown, but I have a lot to learn still. I'm always learning.
Really? You don't think you know it all by now after 40 years as a photographer? Really?
No, I really don't.
You're still learning.
I learn a lot. I've learned to be a lot more confident in my photography, and I feel like I know more of what I want when I'm out shooting. Many times I'll go out and just photograph, and it'll be just dry runs. I come back with nothing. But I chalk it up as good experience, and also I get ideas out there too. So I love being out in the field.
Yeah. When I talk to students about my writing background, I always talk about I'm grateful for the brief time I spent at the Old Telegram Tribune like you, because I learned to write on deadline.
Yes.
And I'm wondering if you had a similar experience being a photojournalist at a daily paper, always going out on assignment, not knowing what you're going to cover, having to do stuff. How did that impact your development as a photographer?
Well,
no pun intended.
Yeah. Developers. That's another really good question, because it's shooting for the newspaper taught me that you rely on your instincts, and you have to get the picture that day, and there's no turning back. You give it to the editor, and that's it. The same with your writing. Yeah. And then you go, and if you're not happy with the photo, well, it's they're always the next day, so you always have another assignment put in the box. And so it's a great learning experience working for a newspaper. It's a lot of work, and gosh, when I was there at the newspaper, when they were going into computers at the time, we were still shooting film in black and white, but it would not be unusual to photograph anywhere from 2 to even 8 rolls of film a day. An average would probably be 3 or 4 rolls of film.
So, I mean, you really learned as you were going.
Oh, yeah.
That was pretty. Yeah. Were you there with Wayne Nichols?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah. Mr. Warmth.
You know Wayne. Heck of a photographer.
I think he's in Wyoming now.
Yes, he is. Yeah.
When I was there, when I started, it was Wayne was mm-hmm. the, and then there was Buck Dyer.
Yes,
and
Robert.
David Middlecamp.
Mm-hmm.
And a guy named Jeff May.
Yes.
Who's now in mm-hmm. Palm Springs.
Yes.
Those were the four.
Yes, yes, yeah. Yeah, Robert started full-time after I left in 1988. He was part-time, and I think you probably came in. What year did
I came in August '89.
Okay, so just after. And, of course, you had the opportunity to work with the Fairbanks.
Absolutely.
Yes, great people.
Jeff was, in fact, last week was the 20th anniversary mm-hmm. of their death,
yes,
if you recall.
Yes.
Jeff was one of the first ones to believe in me. Let's not even go there. Yeah. Tony Hertz on this broadcast, HERTZ. Mm-hmm. TonyHertz.com would be the website?
Yes, it is.
All right.
TonyHertz.com.
Now, as we start talking about the Nine Sisters, a rare alignment of ancient volcanic peaks, how may I get this book, Tony?
There's a link through my website. On the information link, it'll be books, and there is a link there that goes to my self-publishing platform, they call it. It's a publisher platform, and there's where you can order either the 8x10 size or the larger size, which is.
And can I, if I ordered it this weekend, can I get it in time for Christmas?
Yes. I think they said that if you order it by the 11th, you should be able to get it by Christmas.
All right. So this would make the perfect holiday gift for somebody in the area.
Yeah, I think you could even order a little bit later ask for faster delivery.
Or you can make it a New Year's gift.
Exactly.
What made you take on the Nine Sisters?
Gosh, that idea, I've always enjoyed looking at the picture, at the Nine Sisters, all the peaks. When I first moved here in 1975, it was just wonderful to be in town or anywhere and be able to look up and see those beautiful peaks.
And remind, where'd you come from?
I moved here from Redlands, California.
Okay.
Right, it's down near the Southland. And so I came up here to go to Cal Poly, and it's just beautiful mountains. And it's so I started photographing them, particularly when I was at the newspaper, and a lot of pictures up on Cuesta Grade in different areas. But I probably seriously took it up more several years ago. I did a lot of pictures during a year and a half period on the sisters, and then it finally culminated into this book.
And so you just say, "Hey, I've got a book here.
Mm-hmm.
This is a book that celebrates something that's really special about California."
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
right.
It is. It makes this area unique. San Luis Obispo is a unique area. It's so beautiful, as we all know, and wherever we are, we can be. Looking up and noticing the beautiful terrain and remind us that we are actually standing on land. And as compared to flat land, we see beautiful sky, hopefully, but here we can look up and see these beautiful mountains. And
talk about your decision, your creative decision to shoot in black and white.
Well, that's a good one. Probably because I've been... I started in black and white, of course. With my newspaper background, we were all black and white at the Tribune when I was working there. And I went into color. In fact, when I was freelancing, I freelance a lot a fair amount for USA Today and a lot of other newspapers and magazines, and they wanted color, so I shot color. And, of course, I did that a lot when I was working with my own work. But I started shooting more black and white, so... probably around 2011, about 4 years ago, after I was I just wasn't really happy with the color. And also I was kind of disillusioned with a lot of the HDR, which means high definition resolution, which means very bright, almost sometimes neon color photos. And so I went back to my original roots, and I feel like I see things more in black and white. I see tonal ranges and form better. And
doesn't the purist prefer black and white?
Probably so, yeah, because it's really what started photography, more black and white. Many of the masters are all black and white. Of course, there are film-based, too.
I gotta be very careful here because I have a lot of friends on Facebook who post their photos.
Uh-huh.
But what drives me nuts, Tony, is that they play with the image.
Mm-hmm.
They play with the colors. Just like, can't you just take the photo?
Yeah.
You don't have to play with the colors. It is what it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you can, it's kind of like watching a movie that's been colorized. It's obvious that you've done something to it.
Yeah.
I don't need that. I just want you to take the photo of what you saw.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Now, the big difference between black and white and color photography is really color is just more. It has the color information. It gives more, it's more the zap of the color. But as the what is the true color? And that's arguable with a number of people. I read an article one time about a black and white photographer, and he shoots black and white in large part because he doesn't want people to say, well, that sky should be bluer, or it's not, it's too blue, or whatever. So black and white, it's pretty well universal. Of course, you can darken and lighten, but really it has good black and white, really has a large range of tones in it. And even a silhouette picture can have tonal ranges in the darks. It might look really dark from a distance, like a silhouette, but a good black and white picture should have good tonal ranges.
Photographer Tony Hertz on Hometown Radio. The book is The Nine Sisters, A Rare Alignment of Ancient Volcanic Peaks. We'll come back and chat some more and actually talk about the sisters themselves and the challenge of capturing them on film. This is News Talk 920 KVEC. You're listening to The Dave Congleton Show. Thank you for tuning into Hometown Radio. I'm Dave Congleton, California Headline News at the bottom of the hour. We are back with Tony Hertz. The book is The Nine Sisters, great compilation of black and white photography, celebrating our ancient volcanic peaks right here on the Central Coast. Again, Tony, for folks just tuning in, how do they get the book?
You go to my website, TonyHertz.com. It's T-O-N-Y and H-E-R-T-Z. That Hertz is like the rent-a-car. TonyHertz.com, and then there's a link there under books. For those that want to know, the whole link would be TonyHertz.com/books with plural.
So let's have the debate. Let's have the discussion. How many sisters are there really? I wrote a movie screenplay that I'm trying to get made called The Seven Sisters. You have a book called The Nine Sisters, and the purists would say, well, actually, there are 10 sisters.
Wow.
Let's hear your version.
Really? People have asked me about why nine instead of, they always thought there were seven. You know, I believe there really were seven up until the 1960s and 70s. Louisiana Clayton Dart, the curator of the museum, and throughout the 60s and 70s, she got the Chumash Peak named Chumash Peak in 1964. That's when I believe things could have changed from the seven.
So what was it before then? Do we know?
There was no name for that particular peak.
And that's the peak between Bishop Peak and Cerro Romualdo.
Exactly. That's the one between Bishop and the Camp San Luis at Cerro Romualdo.
Oh, I guess I should point out to our listeners that we are talking about the peaks along Highway 1. I'm just assuming everybody knows what we're talking about. The Nine Sisters, the volcanic peaks that start with Islay Hill in San Luis Obispo and go all the way out to Morro Rock.
Yes.
Some people say they're the Nine Sisters.
Yeah.
I call them the Seven Sisters, but now one mystery has been solved. So Louisiana Clayton Dart changed everything in 1964.
I'm guessing. I'm not for sure, but just from my research, that she got that peak named in 64, officially named, that could have changed things. Now, you mentioned earlier, how many peaks are there? Well, there actually, there could, depending on how many you count, but there could be actually as many as 16 or more.
Well, I was told there's one under the water.
Exactly. That's okay. Davidson Seamount or something of that name. I'm not sure I said the name correctly, but something, Davidson Seamount, it's out in the water about maybe a mile and submerged beneath the sea near Morro Rock.
So there's another sister, but mm-hmm. but now there's talk that there are more than that, Tony.
Yeah, but the prominent peaks, the major peaks, are the ones that have been named. And originally, when I started photographing more seriously a few years ago, I was doing the research, and I almost came up with the name just Seven Sisters. And of course, they're also, we should also mention that they're also referred to as the Morros too.
Right.
And So my research showed that when I did a Google search, that oftentimes it came up as Nine Sisters, and a lot of what I bowed to was really the Sierra Club mentions a lot of information about them, and there are nine main peaks, and those are all named. So that's why I went with the nine. And
my wife says the best line in my screenplay is that early on, a woman asks the main character, a guy, why are they called sisters?
Mm.
And he responds, because if they were brothers, they'd be further apart. And the whole subplot is about him and his brother.
Oh.
So that's how I chose to preview it.
Oh.
I was kind of proud of that.
Yeah, good.
Tony Hertz on this broadcast. So I've never considered Morro Rock to be one of the sisters. To me, that's just like a separate sanctuary kind of thing.
It seems to be, but it is still one of the ancient peaks.
Right, right.
That was.
So let's see. We start in San Luis with Islay, and then it's Cerro San Luis Mountain, not Madonna Mountain.
Right. Yes.
With all due respect to the Madonna family, it's San Luis Mountain.
Or Cerro San Luis.
Or Cerro San Luis.
Oh, actually, it is called Cerro San Luis.
Okay.
That is the correct name. Yeah.
Bishop Peak.
Right.
And now is it
Islay? Chumash.
Chumash. Peak. And then Cerro Romualdo, and then Buckingham Peak. Oh, no, I'm sorry. It's Hollister Peak. Sorry, Jeff. And then Cabrillo, and then Black Hill.
Mm-hmm.
I love Black Hill.
Yes.
I love – that's the sister for the lazy people because you can drive halfway up.
You can. You just kind of cruise through the golf course very slowly, and it meanders up most about halfway up there, and then there's a short trail up to the top.
Tony Hertz on this broadcast. It is a celebration of his new book, The Nine Sisters. We'll pick up the conversation when we continue. You're listening to Hometown Radio. I'm Dave Congleton. Stay with us. You have landed on the Dave Congleton Show, always your hometown radio talk show. My guest for the hour is photographer Tony Hertz. Has put together a great compilation of black and white photography celebrating the Nine Sisters, a rare alignment of ancient volcanic peaks. Hello. Go to TonyHertz.com, all the information you need to know. Let's take a call. Irene is in San Luis on KVEC. Hey, Irene.
Hi, Dave.
Hi.
And Tony.
Hi.
I'm glad to hear your conversation today about the peaks. I taught fourth grade here in San Luis Obispo for many years, and our county schools had materials on them. It was called the Seven Peaks at that time. And I knew Louisiana Clayton Dart. I was fortunate enough to take a class from her. Probably in the 60s. But what I'm calling is, if I put in going through the peaks from Islay, I believe you left out Hollister Peak, the real big one. And you know, Hollister, that's a famous family here in San Luis Obispo. There's descendants still here. You know, the dentist, John and Lee, who's now retired, and then their son, Jeff. And that little adobe at on Cuesta College campus was a Hollister adobe.
That's right.
You know, named for that. But I, if I heard it right, I just wanted to point out that the Hollister Peak, the real big one.
Yeah, we did mention that.
Well, I thought you said Buckingham or
something
like that.
That's a joke. Because Jeff Buckingham Jeff Buckingham now owns most of Hollister Peak.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, that's, moral rock is really considered, you know, geologically.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Because it's that chain.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That scientists have, you know, studied it enough. But anyway, I appreciate that, and I remember Tony's pictures in the Tribune, the Telegram Tribune, years ago.
All right. Good
How nice you. Of you to call in, Irene. Thank you very much for your comments.
Yeah, thank you.
543-8830, 1-800-549-5832 if you want to talk with Tony Hertz about the Nine Sisters. Do you have a favorite? You have a favorite sister?
Sarah San Luis and Bishop Peak, those are great. Black Hills,
I love Black
Hills. Yeah.
I love it. Have you been on all of them?
Not all of them. No, not definitely not Morrill Rock. That's off limits to everybody, or most everybody. And then of course Cerro Amaldo. It's very difficult to get up there, particularly now.
Yeah, now that's the one by Camp San Luis.
Yes,
so
exactly.
You can hike that. I'm told with permission of the military.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was on my. On my to-do list, but I never got there to do that hike. Most of my pictures are taken from a distance, including most of the entire peaks.
And the Chumash Peak, I would imagine that's private property.
Chumash Peak?
Yeah.
Yes, it is. I did get permission from the owner to go on that property to photograph that, though. Wow. I went up to the ranch and asked. And
so talk a little bit about your approach to the book.
The approach. Well,
you just don't go out and just take a whole bunch of pictures. Okay, I got a book here.
I guess, you know, I've collected, I don't know if the right word is collected, I've photographed the peaks over the years since I've been here. And after a while, I started realizing, boy, I got quite a collection here. Maybe if I continue shooting more. So several years ago, I did go out with a lot more earnest. I went out pretty often photographing them. I'd wake up really early in the morning. I keep an eye on the webcams. Slowweather.com cam came in really handy. I even asked the guy to tilt his cameras up a little more so I can see the sky a little more.
Wow.
So I can tell when the fog's coming in, because fog is a real beautiful scene when the fog rolls in.
We've got Bob and San Luis on KVEC. Hey, Bob.
Hey, Dave and Tony. How are you guys doing today?
We're good. Bob,
thanks.
How are you?
Well, I'm perfect.
All
hey,
right.
Tony, maybe you can answer a question for me about Bishop Peak.
I'll try.
Are you aware the Pacific Coast Railway at one time was actually mining granite off the south side of that mountain for the breakwater?
It sounds familiar. I know they've mined things over there for that. Yeah, what do you know, Dave?
Some angles, you can see the leftover tracks, I've been told.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yes. Now, that is the question, because, it, you know, from my house, I look pretty much right at the south end of the mountain,
mm-hmm.
and you can kind of see where there's an old, old cut that kind of goes up that mm-hmm. spine towards where they mine the granite.
Hmm.
And I was wondering if that was the old PC Railway, and if it is, mm-hmm. whether or not you guys know whether or not that's private property, if you can walk that.
I
don't know.
Sure,
this is one I could use our friend Mike Burrell,
uh-huh.
who knows, because he told me that story. And I guess when you stand at certain angles, you can see the old tracks.
Hmm.
You mean the roadbed?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, because they pulled all that track up. They abandoned that quarry, according to the Pacific Coast Railway book.
Hmm.
They abandoned that quarry somewhere like around 1908 or 1912. So
maybe right after they built the tunnels up there on the grade, because they built those in the early 1900s.
I would suspect that most of the rock that was pulled from those tunnels was used in the actual construction of that grade.
That very well could be. I know for sure that one of the church downtown is made for a lot of, from the rocks.
Oh, the Presbyterian
exactly.
Church.
Yeah,
now which church is that?
That's Presbyterian Church on Morrill and Marsh.
Yeah, right next
Morrill?
To the post office.
With the big iron gates out in front?
Yes.
Yeah, and a kitty corner from Barnes & Noble.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, no kidding. That is, you know, I'm going to have to go look at that. Now, was that sawn or was it like just laid in place with concrete? You know, because I've got to go look at that.
He's a photographer, Bob. We can't help you on that one.
Yeah.
But I appreciate the call. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thanks for calling.
Again, the name of the book, Tony, is?
The Nine Sisters, A Rare Alignment of Ancient Volcanic Peaks.
You know what the beauty of the show is, a small town radio? What name did I mention 30 seconds ago? Here's Mike Burrell. Hey, Mike.
Hey, how you doing, Dave?
I'm just perfect. I'm so glad you called. So can you answer this guy's question?
Well, I just happened to catch this, and we're in the middle of stuff about this.
Oh.
Let's see, is that Mr. Hertz? Is that who's on?
Tony Hertz is in studio, yes.
Hi, Tony. It's very interesting about all the pictures.
Oh, good. Good. Thank you.
Well, what has happened is there are, this is a project I've been working on since probably the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I have to admit, and Dave knows this, I put it on a back burner. It's been going on for about 40 years, but I've been interested in getting some stuff done on the Civil War I've been doing. So it's been, but I've been dragged back into it by a man named Elliot Marshall and Mike Maurer, who are engineers that are finding the exact route so that people can take a car tour of the Pacific Coast Railway. And so they've dragged me back into this, along with Curtis Johnson, who published the book about the Pacific Coast Railway.
Uh-huh.
And they are going out there, and they're taking 100-foot tape, and they are measuring everything. And another man by the name of R.J. Hansen is involved, too, who's a railroad guy. And he and I have gone off and walked, just recently, the whole area going up to Bishop's Peak from Laguna Lake all the way up to where it is, pretty
right,
much.
Right.
And you can find pilings where the old bridges went across or north of Laguna Lake. And there is still rail up there. But it used to be open so people could walk up there and see it kind of fenced off because there's houses up there. And at one time it was Madonna property, and now it's in private hands. So that's not really on the trails that go up there, but there's still rail up there. It's not tacked down. It's just laying in the weeds.
So could Bob actually go to the trail bed and walk?
Well, we walked all the parts you can walk that are not on private property.
Uh-huh.
And you can, I think if under the right circumstances, and I have to check with the other guys who are doing this to see if they've gotten permission to actually go up the cut. But there's a lot of information out there. And now with Cal Poly's involved, they're using Google satellite maps from the air to take all the vegetation off. So that you can actually see where the route was. And we've got it nailed down to where we know where the whole route went, pretty much. And it went right up the north side of Laguna Lake where the doggy park is, all the way up around that little point out there on Madonna's property, crossed the road by Foothill Boulevard where this old house used to be, and then stayed on that side of the road until you went to that cut that you guys are talking about.
I see. All right.
The cut's probably off limits right now, as far as I know. But I think with permission, probably people could take you up there, you know.
Right.
It's very interesting.
Right.
What a great story.
And there's enough rock up there now you could build another county museum. You could build another old junior high school.
You could
build rock walls. You could do all the stuff that was done with that rock, including the old, what is it? It's the big breakwater that's built out there by Point St. Louis.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Okay, Mike. Thank you very much for the background. Again, why I love this show. Talk
very
about a guy, and 2 minutes later, he's calling in.
Nice.
Tony Hertz is on this broadcast. I was asking, though, about your approach to the book, because one of the things that strike me thumbing through this, you do a lot of this from a distance, as opposed to actually like being on top of San Luis Mountain and giving us, I don't know, the sweeping landscape below.
Yes.
So when I'm asking about your approach, I guess that's what I'm referring to.
I see. I got it. Since they're the Nine Sisters of the Ancient Peaks, by showing the entire peak itself meant a lot to me to share. It's to show the natural grandeur of the whole terrain, the topographical look of it all. And I really worked hard to show it in its most primitive type of state, and that's why I used fog, low fog, and I had to wait long times for that fog to be there.
Let me jump in, because speaking of that, you got a great photo here, Bishop Peak covered with coastal fog. How'd you get this photo?
That one's shot from Cuesta Grade. Those that you, By the way, though, if anybody is online, if you want to go to that website we mentioned, TonyHertz.com.
In the mic, though, Tony, so they can hear you.
TonyHertz.com/books. On the link, you can actually view the entire book free
right.
online. That's all free.
So in this photo, you're on the Cuesta Ridge and
exactly.
you shot through the fog.
Telephoto lens. I believe that was around a 300-millimeter lens.
Yeah, what are you shooting with? What are you shooting with?
Nowadays, I'm shooting with a Nikon camera. It's a D800E, and that's 36 megapixels. Most of these pictures on this book were taken before I purchased that camera, of course, but it's still a very good camera that I shot with, which was a Nikon camera.
This one, Hollister Peak, seen near Turry Road. This almost looks like a painting.
Oh, thank you.
It's yeah. just, I'm looking at it like, well, mm-hmm. no way, that's not a photo. That's a painting.
In black and white.
It's yeah. amazing.
I was delighted to find that. It's a fair amount of hiking. As I mentioned earlier, I did a lot of scouting about, and a lot of times I just come back without anything. But it was just, I just loved the peaks, and I felt it was something to document, to show how natural our area really is. This area here is this is really the heart of our county. And to me, I feel it's really important to preserve this area. And I'm very pleased, too, to know that from years ago, but by actions of some of the supervisors years ago, such as Kurt Kupper and Jeff Jorgensen from years ago, many of you may remember them
from
the 70s, even 60s. They decided not to allow growth high up on any of the peaks, and that's wonderful that it continues that way that we can all enjoy those.
Now, but here's the money shot. Sarah San Luis and Bishop Peak silhouetted with a full moon and the city of San Luis Obispo. This is Ansel Adams.
Ah.
This is Ansel Adams.
The one with the full moon. Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Now, this could not have been an easy shot to get.
It's technically got to get it right. It's exposing for the highlights for sure. And of course, there are city lights below.
But look how clear the moon is.
Okay.
Look at that.
Now, I will have to, if I can explain how I shot this one. To preface it, though, all these photos on this book are all pretty well natural. All I've done is pretty much just lightening and darkening pictures. And a couple of them might be, made a light image and a dark image and put them together, but there's no manipulation on any of these photographs. The one that you just mentioned of the full moon with the city was actually taken with film years ago. And I actually did the double exposure of it's a double exposure of the moon. And I photographed the moon, the cityscape with Cerro San Luis and Bishop Peak in the background. And that was shot at twilight with the sun setting behind it, and that's why it's a silhouette. I shot it with around a 35 millimeter lens. And then during the film days, which you can still do nowadays, you can hold down the button on the back of the camera and then advance the film. So you hold down the film release button and then advance the film. It stays on the same frame. And then I put on a 300 millimeter lens and then composed it so that the large moon would be up on the top right. So,
how cool is that? Tony Hertz on Hometown Radio. It is The Nine Sisters, A Rare Alignment of Ancient Volcanic Peaks, a wonderful book.
Thank you.
Perfect in time for the holidays. We'll come back for a final segment. You're listening to News Talk 920 KVEC. This hour has gone by far too quick. Thanks to Tony Hertz. The name of the book is The Nine Sisters. We get the book how, Tony?
You can find a link through my website, TonyHertz.com/books, B-O-O-K-S.
Now, can I also buy individual copies of the photos you have in the book?
Yes, you sure can. Just contact me through the link on that website. My email address is tony@tonyhertz.com.
Just absolutely stunning photographs.
Thank you very much.
What's next for you? What's your next challenge?
Ooh, good one. I'm enjoying exploring the ocean quite a bit. I live in Shell Beach, and I'm taking a closer look at things. I like looking at things differently to find something different. There's so many good photos out there. So
you might get that 10th sister yet.
Yeah, exactly.
You might get it yet.
I might go underwater and get that Davidson Seamount.
All right. Thank you, Tony. Congratulations on the book.
Thank you very much.
Off we go. News, traffic, weather. What are we going to do next? I don't know.